تقام الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. اللهم صل على سبحان ربك رب العزة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وتباعه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، tonight we are speaking about those deeds which will give you the reward of doing Hajj even though you've not done the Hajj. So this is not encouraging you for the Hajj, because obviously that's in itself a great action, but most of us cannot do the Hajj because of financial responsibilities. Many of us would not be able to do the Hajj because of visas or quotas or those kind of things. Or some just life didn't permit us and our life is too short, and then we don't get called and our maut comes first. So before any of that happens, at least to make some effort where we can get a reward equal to the base reward of Hajj. So when you see the vastness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants an excuse to reward us in great manners, subhanallah, sometimes you look at these hadith, for small actions the reward is massive. Small actions, the reward is so big that you think, is this even an authentic hadith? Is it a made up hadith? Like, how could it be such a great reward for such a small action? For example, itikaf is difficult. You have to take off from work, you have to stay away from the family, you have to get permission from the home office. All these kind of things have to happen before you prepare yourself for itikaf. Then you come and you stay in the masjid and you're not supposed to be on your phone, you're separated from everybody else, and for 10 days you get that reward. At the same time, you go and assist another brother Muslim, get the reward of 10 years of itikaf, itikaf, went through the whole process. Then you get a reward for 10 days of itikaf. You go and help someone, you get the reward of 10 years of itikaf. Sometimes it's like mind-boggling how one is so much effort, another one gets so much of reward so easily. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to incentivize us and encourage us to do certain deeds which will be beneficial for all of us, inshallah. So, some of these deeds, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did himself as a habit, himself, he used to do it all the time. And we can also adopt it in our life and try and do it. And others, we can try to do it because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to do it. And who knows how many rewards of Hajj we will get in the day of Qiyamah. Just because we've done this small bit here, small bit there, small bit there, and all of these come together to become rewards of Hajj. So, in the expedition of Tabuk, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something which was very, very interesting. And this, in Riyadh al-Salihin, it comes as under the chapter of intentions and your sincerity of intention, and how clean and pure your intention has to be. Where when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes in Tabuk, Tabuk was known as the most difficult expedition. There was no fighting in Tabuk. There was no actual fighting in Tabuk. But the expedition itself, the test of leaving home at that time was so difficult that it's known as one of the most difficult tests or the most difficult journeys that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with Sahaba radiallahu anhu on. And this was where Munafiqeen made excuse after excuse after excuse not to go. So they tried to wiggle themselves out of not going. And it was hot. The enemy they were supposed to face were in the thousands, hundred thousands. It was the Roman army, which has been a superpower for years and years. So you know that you're up against a difficult enemy. You know you've got the heat that's against you. You know you've got all these other things. And this is where the Munafiqeen basically just jumped off the ship. You know, they're like, oh, no, we're not doing this. And some of these Sahaba now leave with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They go through all the difficulties. They go through the heat, the pain of leaving their crops behind, losing their whole crops, all of these things. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do you know that there's some of your brothers who are at home and they've got the same reward? If it was us, we would have said, unfair. How is that working? Come, we have to go all the way out and there's others who are sitting at home getting the same reward as us. Doesn't work. But here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us it was all about the intention. These people wanted to come out. Either they didn't have the means, or either illness stopped them, حَبَسَهُمُ المرض, some sickness stopped them from coming out, or some other valid excuse for them not being able to come out. Where in Surah Tawbah, in Parah 10, last page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they come out wanting to come in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they've got nothing to spend. They don't have the means to go out, neither do they have an animal to ride on, and they come hoping that maybe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can arrange from somewhere else. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns them away, and they go back with tears in their eyes that we couldn't make it. So the intention is pure. So even though they didn't go, they still get the full reward of wanting to go out. Now, imagine somebody makes all that effort, and the other side is somebody not making any effort. The only thing that's giving them a same reward is intention. That's why most kitabs of hadith, or almost every single kitab of hadith, would start with إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that your intention has to be the most pure. But intention is not the only thing. Because I intend to go for Hajj, I intend to go and give millions of pounds in sadaqah. Just talk, mashallah, good enough, but there needs to be some flavor behind it, there needs to be some effort behind it, there needs to be some movement behind it to show that you actually want to do it. So there was, because otherwise it's just a comfort, you know, for those who couldn't make it, it's just a comfort, you know, you made intention, you get the reward. That's just a thing to make you feel good. Yes, you would get the reward, but it's not enough. But Rasulullah showed us that there needs to be some effort. So when Sahaba radiallahu anhu moved from Makkah to Medina, after some time they missed that opportunity of, you know, it was so easy while we were in Makkah to do Umrah. And now while they were in Medina, there was no opportunity of Umrah. They couldn't go for Umrah, they were barred from going for Umrah. So they came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, we wish to go for Umrah. So they had an intention, they wished to actually go. And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that whoever does wudu at home in Medina and then walks and goes to Quba, does 2 rakats of Salah there, then this would be equal to Umrah. Small effort, small action, big reward. So now, it shows that you had the intention, but you put some juice behind it, you know, you put something behind it. Now, this hadith is probably one of the most hopeful hadith. Not only are you getting the reward of Hajj, but Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is, if you do this, you get the reward of Hajj. But one is, if you do this, you get the reward of Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How special is that? So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got ready. They went to Hajj, and when they came back, there was a lady from the Ansar whose name was Ummi Sinan radiallahu anha. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew her. He knew her well, and he knew that she had this wish and desire to go for Hajj. So he asked her, "How come you didn't come for the Hajj? Like, you had the desire. How did you miss out?" And she says that my husband has 2 camels. We only have 2 cars in our house. My son and my husband shared the 1 camel to go for Hajj. The 2nd camel was used by the servant to irrigate our farm, our property. So we had no other means to come, so that's why I missed it. She was upset. She was hurt. And Rasulullah felt and noticed that regret that she had in her heart that she couldn't go. And it was known in that time that it was Hajjatul Wada, the last Hajj of Rasulullah. It was in the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was known as the last Hajj. Not after, in that life. So they already knew that this high possibility of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not going ever again. So imagine now knowing you missed that. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have told her, you made an intention, innama al-a'malu binniyat. Made intention, mashallah, you got your reward. Done. He tells, or he could have told you can go for Hajj next year, which wouldn't have been with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it would have been something, you know. He tells her, if you can, go for Hajj during Ramadan. If you can, go for Hajj during Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did about 4 umrahs after moving to Medina. And none of them were in Ramadan. And Rasulullah encourages us to do it in Ramadan. And here Rasulullah said this, that فَإِنْ عُمْرَةً فِي رَمَضَان تَقْضِي حَجَّةً مَعِي. That if you do an Umrah in Ramadan, it will be equal to an Umrah, a Hajj with me. So you do the Umrah in Ramadan, like a Hajj with me. And Subhanallah, it becomes a gift for every one of us. We can't see Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we're not going to get that opportunity. But to get that kind of reward, that's why Ramadan time you see how packed the haram is, because everybody wants to get this reward of being with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, those are the intention part, right? And obviously the Hajj in Ramadan, the Umrah in Ramadan, if we can do it, we should. Try to at least go for that, inshallah. Now, Abu Umama radiallahu anhu narrates, and this is under the hadith of Imam Abu Dawud, that a person who departs from their house, leaves the house, they made wudu at home, not using masjid water. Sometimes masjid wudu is easier. Why? Because our bathroom might be cramped, the sink might be small, it might be the sink is high, we have to lift our feet up. You know, it's easier because the wudu khana is built for ease, built for wudu. Our bathroom is not always built for wudu, you know. But just on that, you know, if we are renovating our house, build it in such a way that wudu becomes easy, because you're going to do wudu more than 5 times a day. At least facilitate your own wudu easier, make your own ibadat easier for yourself. You know, if you are renovating, think of all these things. Like, this, by the way, you know, it's off the topic. I like doing this, astaghfirullah. I like, you know, you see something somewhere and then I keep a note of it in my head. Oh, this is nice. So I've seen this in Malaysia, in Medina also. There was a house that we stayed at, and in the bathroom near the sink, they had a small drain on the floor. So it's basically underneath that, it's a shower trap. You know that drain which should take the water away. You put that, it costs you a few pounds extra when you're doing the whole effort. It's going to cost you a few more pipes, but your whole life becomes easy after that. All you have to do is push all the water towards there, or you make wudu there and your wudu water goes into the drain and it's gone away, instead of having splashes all over the bathroom. So it's just these small changes. If we are doing a renovation, make your own life easier. Anyway, so this is one, making wudu at home and then walk into the masjid. Making wudu at home, then walk into the masjid, you get the reward of Hajj. We have to make wudu if we are coming for salah. Just make an intention. I'm making wudu at home because I want the reward of Hajj. You get the reward of Hajj. And then another one, and this is subhanAllah, 5 times a day, 5 Hajj a day. Think of it. Then another one, the rest of the hadith actually, is where Rasulullah said, a person who leaves the house and he comes to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of duha. Duha is mid-morning. So about after 9 o'clock, somewhere between there and zawal time. If a person comes to the masjid to do duha salah, then they will get the reward of Hajj. So you may do wudu at home, you come to the masjid for duha, and you get the reward of Hajj. And then in another hadith, this is in Tirmidhi, a narration of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, that a person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person who does salah in jama'at, person who does salah in jama'at, so he did salah with the congregation, and this is talking about Fajr salah, and then they stayed after salah in their place without moving. Stayed in their place without moving, and they do dhikr and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the sun rises and comes up. So the Hanafi way would be easiest, obviously, in this being biased towards the Hanafis, that Fajr being at the latest time of Fajr, and then you have a short period of waiting, because obviously Fajr being as late as possible or as bright as possible, and then there's a short wait where you maybe read your Surah Yasin and do some dhikr, whatever, and then you, as soon as Ishraq sets in, you do your Ishraq Salah, you get the reward of Hajj and Umrah. Not just Hajj, but Hajj and Umrah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it's like, how can this be possible, you know? He says, tammatan, 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 complete, complete, complete. Complete reward of Hajj and Umrah, complete reward of Hajj and Umrah, complete reward of Hajj and Umrah, just for doing your Fajr Salah in Jamaat. Now the Fajr Salah is getting earlier and earlier. Some motivation for us, inshallah. So, to do your Fajr Salah in Jamaat, stay in the masjid for a little while. Obviously, somebody is dedicated enough to come for Fajr with Jamaat and dedicated enough to stay after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding that dedication that you've stayed, so I'm going to reward you for that. Then, so you do your Ishraq Salah. Actually, on Ishraq Salah, there's another point. If you do 2 rakats of salah, of Salatul Ishraq after sunrise, you get the reward of Hajj and Umrah. But if you do the second 2 rakats after that, your tasks for the day becomes easy. All your tasks for the day becomes easier. We all want our tasks to become easier. We all wish for some genie in a bottle to come and do half of our work. But if we do that 2 rakats of salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to fulfill our tasks for the day. Then, the third one, this is in Tabarani Sharif, narration of Abu Umama radiallahu anhu also. And this also comes in Mu'ajam al-Kabir and Hakim and other hadith kitab, so it's quite authentic. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the person who goes to the masjid to learn something or teach something. So we all came, to learn. Oh, you have a hope, you know, when I'm going to go for salah, there might be some program on, I might hear something, and inshallah I'll learn something from it. So every salah, if you have that intention that I might learn something inshallah from the masjid, or you have an intention that you would teach something, then you get the reward of Hajj. And here also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tammatan, complete. So, subhanallah, all these ustads upstairs, maktab ustads who are teaching every day, alim class ustads who are coming to the masjid to teach every day, and the students who's coming every day to learn. Subhanallah. Hajj reward, 5 times a day, 5 times in a week or 6 times in a week, depending on how many days a week they have classes, they're getting so much of Hajj reward, subhanallah. So, these are the ways where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it that some of these actions, we are already doing them. All we have to do is re-intention ourselves, hope for that reward. Because remember in the hadith of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, with iman and hope of reward. You're fasting with iman and hope of reward. You're doing tarawih, iman and hope of reward. So there always has to be that hope of reward. So, subhanAllah, after reading so many hadith, sometimes you can't remember all of these, you know. Okay, I'm doing dhikr after salah. How many hadith? In one kitab, there's like maybe 40, 50 hadith just talking about subhanAllah and the rewards of subhanAllah. If you go in other hadith kitabs, you'll find even more than that. So while you're doing one time, you're doing your tasbihat after salah, how do you remember all those different rewards that's mentioned in the hadith? So I try to just make an intention, Allah, whatever rewards you've told us through the hadith, wherever they are, whether it's a weak narration, strong narration, I want all the rewards. I want all. Allah knows whichever ones, I might not remember all of them, but Allah want all, whichever ones, even the ones I never read of, even the kitabs that I never seen, I want all of them. Because we are doing the action, might as well collect all the rewards, inshallah. Now, this is an easy one, really, really easy. And the reward is something else, subhanAllah. Whoever does, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did all these things just to make our life easy. This hadith where if a person does 100 tasbih in the morning and in the evening. 100 tasbih doesn't mean one round of your tasbih. Means 100 tasbih is specific. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorifying Allah and mentioning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from any fault. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clean from every fault. That is tasbih. So either subhanallah or saying the meaning of it, that Allah, oh Allah, you are pure from any kind of defect, any kind of fault. Or say it in any language. So one is to say subhanallah, which is obviously closest to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the words of the sunnah. But one is to say it in your own language where your heart understands it. And your ears understand it, and you sort of reminding yourself of it. So otherwise, subhanAllah, 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 subhanAllah. Concentration is not there, the mind is not there, everything is somewhere else. We don't even know what we're saying, we don't even know what it means. We're just saying it, and you're completing the round, the circle. But another is to sit and think of what you're saying and actually praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, Allah, oh Allah, you are so pure. Oh Allah, you have no defect. Oh Allah, you have no faults. And say that 100 times in the morning and 100 times in the evening with consciousness, inshallah. It will build your iman. Besides the rewards that's written here, it will build your iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will build your consciousness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will build your knowledge of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and how Allah is able, because you are removing all faults from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the blemishes and all defects from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by actively saying. Now when you're saying it all the time, you're making yourself believe it. For your heart to believe something, you have to repeat it many, many times for your heart to even believe it once. For your heart to believe it once, you have to repeat it on your tongue many times. So that's why say it where you can understand it and when you know what you're saying. So back to the hadith, where a person says 100 tasbih in the morning and in the evening, then this person gets the reward of 100 hajj. 100 hajj. Most of us after Fajr Salah we do 33 times subhanallah. Just up that 200. It takes us about a minute or a little bit more than a minute to finish our tasbih. It's going to take you maybe maximum of 2 minutes to complete subhanallah 100 times, and inshallah you will get that reward of a hajj 100 times in a day. So just add all of these up. You've done wudu at home and you came to the masjid for fard salah, you got the reward of hajj. You came to the same masjid with the intention of learning or teaching somebody, get another hajj. Then you're going to sit after Fajr Salat al-Ishraq, get a Hajj and Umrah. So that's 3 already. Then while you're doing your tasbih, you read 100 times, subhanallah. You get 4 already. And in, so subhanallah, just in your morning alone, you've already got 4 Hajj. And then obviously other salahs you can add to that, inshallah. So there's a Sahabi who comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I really want to go out in the path of Allah. I really want to go out in the path of Allah. They don't have the means. I can't afford to go out, or I don't have the ability to go out. So I can't go out. What can I do? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, are any of your parents alive? Are any of your parents alive? So he says, my mom is alive. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, go and show obedience to Allah through serving your mother. Show your obedience to Allah by serving your mother. And by serving her and treating her well, you will get the reward of Hajj. You will get the reward of Jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just Hajj, but Hajj and Jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is another thing that we could do if our parents are alive, inshallah, then we try to make an effort. Those of us whose parents have passed away, there's a hadith that doesn't talk about Hajj, but there's a way of at least somehow serving your parents. Is you be good to those people who are friends of your parents. So your father's friends, your mother's friends, be good to them. And in that way, the ones that your parents showed love to, you show love to them. In that way, you will be serving your parents if they have passed away already. And inshallah, you will get the reward of serving your parents. But obviously, if they have passed away, there are also other ways of serving them, by doing isali thawab or doing other things. And inshallah, through that, you get the reward. But those who have their parents alive, really, don't miss out. Don't miss out. Take this reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take this gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us and allowing us to get so much. Let us do this inshallah. So just to recap inshallah, one was doing wudu at home and then coming to masjid, not wudu at masjid. There's another hadith which says wudu at home and coming for fard salah, you get the reward of hajj. And if you do wudu at home and come for a nafil salah, you get the reward of umrah. And that hadith also in other narrations comes as Salatul Duha. So wudu at home and then come for Salah. The second one, doing after Fajr, sitting and doing Ishraq Salah. Third one, learning something or teaching something. Whether you do it or not, with the intention, you left your house with that intention that I'm going to come and I'm going to learn something or I'm going to teach something. And then, if we can, to the Umrah during Ramadan, the tasbih in the morning and evening, subhanallah, or the meaning of subhanallah, and then looking after our parents, inshallah, we will get the reward. Subhanallah, just think of how lucky those who are teaching every day are. And if they're doing all of this, whole package, subhanallah. Learning, teaching every day, you come to masjid to learn and teach, subhanallah. Those maktab ustads and students in the classrooms, very, very lucky. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawfiq, inshallah, we will be counted among them, inshallah, because we're sitting to learn and sitting to teach, inshallah. And when we go home, inshallah, we hopefully we take whatever we've learned and we go home and we teach at home, we'll get the reward of that also, inshallah. So we'll get the reward of learning and teaching because we went home and shared it. SubhanAllah.